This is Jim Inkster coming today on Talk Louisiana. We'll visit with Capital Bureau Chief Mark Ballard of The Advocate on the current impasse in the House regarding solutions to the fiscal cliff. Also, Tom Aswell, publisher of Louisiana Voice, and attorney Mike Wolf, the noted libertarian, on the call from Governor Edwards for Secretary of State Tom Shedler to resign, and the politics of guns as President Trump riles the NRA with his comments on Wednesday about gun control. Now the news on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Coming in just a bit, we'll hear from Tom Aswell, publisher of Louisiana Voice, and Mike Wolf, the noted attorney, the longtime libertarian in Louisiana, and they will comment on events going on, and there are a few locally and nationally. But we begin with Mark Ballard, our weekly visit with the Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate. And before we start with Mark, I want to thank everybody who contributed yesterday in the one-day pledge drive for WRKF and several in this hour of programming. And I understand we got a call this hour yesterday from a new member, a guy by the name of Tom Hanks. So, Tom Hanks, if you're listening, I really like Nothing in Common, the last movie of Jackie Gleason, by the way. 877-217-5757. The post is pretty good, too. Your local number, 297-5633. And if you'd like to send an email, talk@talklouisiana.org. Good morning, Mark Ballard.
Good morning.
Well, at the Capitol, yesterday was a weird day, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, it was. They took hours to kind of get together, and finally, I guess around 6 o'clock or so, they got on the floor and started moving some of those bills that they had not had a chance to vote on since the session started on the 19th. And a couple of them made it through, a couple of others didn't make it through, and then late at night there, the key bill for to extend the sales tax by a quarter penny and clean off some of the other pennies of the sales tax, remove the exemptions of them, was soundly defeated late last night. And so it's a busy day. They're going to be coming back today and trying to work out some sort of problems with this, and we start again, probably again late tonight.
Is there the possibility that they could just shut it down?
There is that possibility. In fact, there was an effort that they sidetracked last night to vote for a sine die, which means to end the special session altogether. But they were able to sidetrack that as well. But I think that what we saw with yesterday's votes was more of a was more show than anything else. Right now, they're trying to kind of figure out what they can agree on, and because the deal that they thought they had in place on Sunday sort of broke down, the Black Caucus and the Democrats are saying, look, we would like to see some movement on income tax and try to fill the hole with both income tax as well as sales tax. I mean, and that seems to be where what happened yesterday was that they were kind of showing the Republicans that, look, if you want to get anything done, you're going to need us, and we have the votes to slow things down.
And now the clock is ticking, 6 days away, right?
Yes. The rules are such that, if they can get a two-thirds vote, that they can change the rules. But right now it looks like things are going to be right up until the last minute over the weekend, trying to get these bills through committee, voted on the floor, through the Senate committees, voted on the floor, and then they have to kind of gather together and do a conference committee to kind of get the wording exactly the same between the two. So, I mean, they put themselves up against the wall.
Ray in Prairieville. Hi, Ray. You're on the air with Mark Ballard. Good morning.
Jim, thanks for taking the call. Just wanted to congratulate Mr. Ballard on the Advocate's recent editorial on, of course, the fallacious communication with of our legislature. I really thought that was well done. than today's article about the arresting the lady for homicide of her child when their car was hit by a policeman driving 94 miles per hour on airline.
All right. Well, thank you, Ray. That is on the front page along with several other stories, but it's an amazing story, and Ray described it exactly as it has happened, a tragedy for this lady who lost her child, and she was arrested for failing to secure her daughter's car seat. An off-duty police officer crashed into the vehicle at 94 miles per hour and killed the child. Mark, back to the Capitol, as Ray pointed out in his initial comments. Right now, this is not reflecting well on anybody, the governor, the legislature, anybody. Potentially, with 6 days to go, a disaster in the works.
There's that distinct possibility, and right now there's a lot of finger pointing that is going on. I'm an optimistic kind of guy, so I think that they will come to some sort of an agreement. But what they do, how they come to that agreement, that's kind of up in the air right now.
And the other story that is above the fold today in the Advocate, the newspaper of record in Louisiana, Edwards, that's Governor John Bel Edwards, joins calls for Shedler to resign. Tom Shedler's had better weeks.
Well, he has. I mean, this kind of all started out with Senator Sharon Hewitt, a Republican from Tom Shedler's hometown of Slidell, calling for his resignation. And what they're saying is that, you know, if we accept what the employee has claimed in her lawsuit, that's terrible. We can't have that to happen. But his defense of having an affair with a subordinate is not much better. And if that is the answer to it, then that right there should be enough for him to resign. There was Senator Barrow from Baton Rouge joined in on that. Representative Moreno from New Orleans joined in on that. And the governor did yesterday after the Rotary Club luncheon. Yeah,
but there are no criminal charges. And if this plays out in the courts, as the new head of the Republican Party, Louis Gerbich, says it should, then that'll take time and probably more time than's left in Tom Shedler's term, which now is less than 2 years away from finishing. And my guess, Mark, is that he will not seek re-election.
Well, what we're hearing is that he's kind of considering his options right now. And so, I mean, I can't imagine him seeking re-election. But then, you know, other Republican or other politicians that have had similar type of scandals touch them sought re-election and got re-elected.
Okay. Yeah, and of course, we've got the President of the United States is accused of sexual misconduct. We have the President of Jefferson Parish, the second largest parish in Louisiana, who has lasted more than a year after allegations that he sexted a 17-year-old boy and gave him designer underwear. He has not stepped down, so it would seem that Tom Shedler may be saying, my goodness, considering everything else that's going on in public life with prominent officials, why are they after me?
Well, because he had a relationship with a subordinate, I think.
Yeah, well, he has acknowledged that. And I guess the question, as a listener notes, a pretty sharp listener, is that this, according to Mr. Shedler, started in 2008. He would have been working for Jay Darden then. He would not have been the Secretary of State. So if that is the context, I don't know that she was actually, quote, working for him. She was working for Jay Darden at the time.
Except for he was one of the executives in that suite of offices. He was either first secretary or the deputy secretary.
Well, I think it's also fair to say that he is not the first public official in Louisiana, Mark, to have had a relationship with a subordinate. But this is a new day, and because of that, there is a different kind of scrutiny than there once was.
Now, this is true. I mean, and this once happened quite a bit in the past, or at least. But this kind of Me Too movement and what we've been seeing over the last I guess, 6 months or so. I mean, shows that that kind of behavior is frowned upon. It is frowned upon. I mean, what once was acceptable is no longer.
Another listener, before we part company with you, Mark, wants your comments regarding the LSU new policy on hazing. Student expulsion is what is now in play if hazing goes on at the old War School. This in response to the death of Maxwell Groover last year. Your thoughts about what King Alexander and the powers at LSU are doing to address this serious, serious situation?
Well, first, the disclaimer on this is that I've never been a big fan of fraternities in the first place, and I think that it's long overdue for this kind of behavior. And expulsion is perhaps the best way to go about it. There are bills in the legislature that would even make exemplary damages, which means, you know, that additional damages, punishments in the courts. And I mean, that's the kind of thing that I think will put an end to this sort of behavior.
Well, it's something that unfortunately happened too late for Maxwell Groover, but perhaps we can avoid different kinds of incidents of this type. I remember Ben Wynn in 1997 having a blood alcohol level of 0.6, which is lethal in every case, and Gruber's wasn't that high, but it was high enough to kill him. Thank you so much, Mark Ballard. It is always a pleasure.
All right, thank you, Jim.
We'll be back after this pause on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us, and your number for Talk Louisiana is 877-217-5757, and locally in Baton Rouge, 297-5633. And you can send an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. Tom Aswell of Louisiana Voice is in the house and joining us telephonically from New York, the longtime libertarian activist in our state, Mike Wolf, prominent attorney, and they are here to talk about a few different matters. And this one is one we had not intended to talk about, but I think it's worth a mention, particularly with Mike Wolf, who for many years has been fighting for legalization of marijuana. Last night, the Baton Rouge Metro Council eased marijuana penalties, cutting out jail time for less than 14 grams. Mike Wolf, I'm sure you are just pleased as punch, as Hubert Humphrey used to say.
Well, I was surprised and pleased by it. I learned about it this morning checking the Advocate online. But I was very disappointed that my councilman didn't vote for it. it's a fairly small step. The law already allowed any officer enforcing any marijuana law, in the case of simple possession, it's just a misdemeanor to issue a summons rather than make an arrest. And this law simply says, gives him no option. It says he must issue a summons in these most minor marijuana cases. But they always had that option.
And this was one of those measures that did not follow a script as far as party lines and racial lines. Voting for it, Amoroso, Banks, Cole, Collins, Lewis, Freiberg, Green, Hudson, and Loop, and voting against Watson, Welsh, Wicker, and Wilson. Who's your councilman, Mike?
It's Matt. It's Watson.
Matt,
right?
Watson. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. The new first termer.
Yeah, he's been with us a few times, but he voted no to this.
Yeah, and he made noises like you that he was somewhat libertarian. Well, that's hardly libertarian. But anyway, it's good to see the city moving ahead. And, of course, these cases are trivial, and the city court is filled with them. And so it improves the efficiency of the courts and gets minor matters out of there.
All right. Well, we want to touch base about a few different matters with you and Tom as well. And yesterday, John Bel Edwards, our governor, called for the Secretary of State, Tom Shedler, to give up the ghost and resign his post as the number three officer in state government. And Tom Shedler, to this point, has not done so, and he is accused of having a relationship, he says, with an employee in his office. She says that there was no relationship and that she was sexually harassed repeatedly by Tom Shedler. In her lawsuit, she even says that Shedler bought a townhouse across the street from her to keep tabs on her. And it's a situation that's unpleasant for all involved, and it's played out on the front pages of the local newspaper and across the state. Tom Aswell, is Tom Shedler, is he history, or is he going to be able to stay the course and finish his term?
I think he'll wind up resigning. I have not follow this as closely as I do some of the other issues around the state, but this is something I just don't think he can survive it, and I'm not advocating one way or another, but I just don't think he can withstand this.
And Mike Wolf, you have commented on other allegations of sexual misconduct involving public officials. It appears that Tom Shedler is getting the kind of scrutiny that, for example, Mike Yenny in Jefferson Parish did not. I don't know that the governor has called for his resignation, and here is a man who's president of the second largest parish in the state who is accused of sexting a 17-year-old boy. And married with a wife pregnant at the time these revelations came about a year ago. Why is Shedler getting this kind of attention?
Oh, it's probably just because of the times we're in and all the attention be given to sexual harassment in the last few months. But it may be that he will end up resigning, but I think he's entitled to due process. The allegations don't... seem to present a case of sexual harassment, but he denies them, and so we simply should let it play out. I don't think we need to get into a lynch mob mentality. The accusations seem to constitute sexual harassment, but they don't seem to be a very aggravated kind. The man isn't charged with assault or anything like that. He's simply charged with sending Valentines and making asking this lady out on dates and so forth, and apparently she didn't want to deal with him. But there's nothing worse than that. She wasn't fired. She seems to have a good-paying job and is still well-situated in the department. It said that she was transferred to meaningless positions, but it seems to me the damages do not appear to be very great right now. But I think he should have an eye on trying to save the money to the state and the lieutenant governor's department.
Well, the
Secretary of State's department, yeah. As far as that's what he should be concerned about, but we don't need to have a mob stampeding for his head. People ought to be stampeding to get Jeff Landry out of there. He still hasn't finished the Alton Sterling investigation. Now, that's a serious matter. This, compared to something like that, Shedler's case seems trivial.
Well, the Alton Sterling matter is extremely important, and it has dragged on for quite some time, getting close to a year since the Justice Department did not pursue charges against the two officers who were involved in the death of Mr. Sterling. And you're right, Jeff Landry has not had the same kind of calls for his head the way Tom Shedler has. And the interesting thing is that Shedler, up until now, was considered to be one of the most popular people in state government, a three-time state senator. People like the guy, and now some of those people who say they liked him, they seem to be capitalizing on the situation. This is politics, after all, and Louisiana politics. But Tom Aswell, one of the people calling for his resignation, is a likely candidate for his position. So that would seem to be a bit unseemly.
You would think so. And lost in all this is I've written a couple of times about an attorney in DHH or LDH who is also accused of sexual harassment, and nobody has called for his resignation. So.
All right, and Allie Baltazar, our producer, has found this clip from Mike Yenny, the president of Jefferson Parish. And by the way, this is more than a year ago that this happened. Here's Mike Yenny acknowledging that he had an incident of sexual misconduct, at least one, with a 17-year-old young man.
I'm addressing you through this commercial because I don't want my words to be edited. I believe you deserve the truth from me directly. Last summer, I was old enough to know better, but I guess I was still young enough to do something stupid. I chose to send improper texts to a young man. I won't go into details out of respect for the rights and privacy of all parties. I made a bad decision. I regret my actions. I apologize to the families involved and anyone who I embarrassed, especially my own family and the people of Jefferson. Now, I will work every day to prove that good people can rise from a bad decision. I want to reassure the citizens of Jefferson that I never abused or misused my powers as a public official. And I'm certainly not afraid of the future because I'm smart enough to never repeat the past.
All right, that's Mike Yenny and Tom Aswell. If we were on television, I could see you wincing as he was making those remarks.
Yeah, it's a little self-serving.
but he's still there.
Yep.
And there is not any wide. Now, some local officials in Jefferson Parish have called for his head, but the state Republican chair did not. Roger Villery, the new guy, Louis Gervich, is not. Mike Wolf, it does appear that this is a different situation for Shedler, and that doesn't absolve him of anything. If he's guilty of what he's accused of, then he's been a bad public servant in the case of his relationship with his woman. But why are we picking our spots here? Why is there not a more universal conduct code when it comes to public officials in Louisiana?
Well, that's a good question. I think hypocrisy is one of the shining traits of public officials, and they frequently will not treat the gander the way they treat the goose, and it all depends on public attention, from the White House to Shedler's office and to the local Baton Rouge media. You see this happening. They don't treat consistently matters of the same degree of importance or the same sort of significance, and I can't explain it except to say that the people are not consistent, they're not rational. But we again don't want to make a rush to judgment on Tom Shedler. I think we should wait and see what happens. The case will certainly settle. It's basically a lawsuit involving harassment, working conditions, and it can be handled as a matter of routine.
All right, we're going to take a short break and return with Attorney Mike Wolf and Tom Aswell of Louisiana Voice. Your number 877-217-5757, locally 297-5633, and we're back in a few minutes right here with Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us. Ali Baltazar is producing. The show is Talk Louisiana on WRKF, and your number is 877-217-5757. If you'd like, send an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. Attorney Mike Wolf and Tom Aswell, the publisher of Louisiana Voice, who always is on the cutting edge of what's going on in our state, online. You can go to louisianavoice.com and read more about his work. They're with us to talk about many matters, and we're discussing a few of them, including the travails of one Tom Shedler, the Secretary of State who won his post against Jim Tucker by about 8,000 votes in 2011 and then defeated Chris Tyson by more than 250,000 votes in 2015. Dan Downtown. Hi, Dan. You're on the air with Mike and Tom.
Yes. Do you believe that the only way Jeff Landry will move to prosecute cops over the Sterling case is if he somehow figures he needs some of the black vote for his future politics?
There's a political component to just about everything in Louisiana when it involves a public official, but Tom, you're smiling about this one.
Yeah, well, that's a good question, and it's a loaded question, and I think, well, he's implying that Landry would indeed do that, and I agree with him. Landry is a political opportunist all the way, and he's no different than any other politician. He'll take advantage of whatever blows his way.
Mike, what do you think about what's going on with a few of our public officials?
Well, of course, on Landry, I just think it's terrible. It's past time to get a result, and a man is dead. I read today that those police officers are still on leave with pay, getting paid and not having to work after they killed a guy. That needs to be handled, and he's dodging it, and the state seems content with it. The governor ought to be talking about that, not about Tom Shedler's wished-for girlfriends. But, again, I think we need to separate trivial matters from serious ones, and the Shedler case will be worked out. It appears he did some things he shouldn't have been doing, but they don't seem like mortal sins. They seem more like in the category of venial sins, as Catholics might say about it. So I think we should go on to more serious matters. The state is broke and can't figure out the budget issues and so forth. And I don't think we need to be dealing with petty personnel problems in the Secretary of State's office.
Well, yesterday, the President of the United States, Donald Trump, he broke with many of his ardent supporters on some of the gun issues. And in Louisiana, when he broke with just about the entire Louisiana delegation, for example, all the Republicans, including our two U.S. Senators, John Kennedy and Bill Cassidy, are in favor of this bill that would allow people with concealed carry permits in Louisiana to go to places like New York where there is no concealed carry permit and allow them to carry guns. But Donald Trump says he doesn't want to do that. And he stunned Republicans by embracing gun control and urging a group of lawmakers at the White House to resurrect gun safety legislation that's been opposed for years by the National Rifle Association. Now, Tom Aswell in Louisiana Voice writes, NRA response to Parkland shootings disgusting, and Trump's would-be machismo makes him even more of a laughingstock. It appears the president is moving your way on this issue, Tom.
Well, let's wait till tomorrow, because Trump is well known for saying one thing today and something totally different tomorrow. So I don't put much stock in anything the man says.
Mike Wolf, what are your thoughts about the gun issue right now after this awful shooting 15 days ago in Parkland, Florida, that left 17 people dead, including 14 young students?
Well, this illustrates the point I was trying to make a moment ago about how different circumstances cause different reactions among the politicians. The salience of that, the awareness everybody has about it and the attention it's got in the media is causing people to pay attention to gun control issues more than they did before, even though there's no objective greater reason now than there was before. I heard Governor Cuomo of New York say this morning that only the legislative changes proposed by Trump yesterday, which would mean not selling assault rifles to people under age 21 and having tighter background checks, would have only affected 13% of the mass killings we've had in the last few years. Only 13%. That is, most of them are by people over 21, and most of them are by people that wouldn't get caught with a wouldn't be flagged in a background check. So, sure, we need to pursue those things, but what stood out to me the most was that Trump was using a very kind of a fancy tone of acting as though he was going to solve the problem and solve it quickly yesterday. But the problem isn't solved that easily.
877-217-5757 for Mike Wolf and Tom Aswell. David in Atlanta. Hi, David. You're on the air with Tom Aswell and Mike Wolf.
Good morning. I was an AFL-CIO union shop steward for an office workers union, and I can tell you women suffer greatly with sexual harassment. It causes serious problems and real pain, and it's to be taken very, very seriously. What was the person in the legislature who got in some real domestic hot water? He was a Democrat, and Governor John Bel Edwards, I vividly recall, requested that he resign and or even be removed from office. What was his name, Jim?
Troy Brown.
Troy Brown. Okay. Well, where's the leadership of the Republican Party with Tom Shetland? It's absent, without leave. It's AWOL.
All right. Thank you, David. Now, Troy Brown was accused of crimes,
yes.
Criminal charges.
Yes,
that is not that would seem to be a distinction with him and Tom Shetler. Tom Shetler is not accused of any criminal activity, Mike Wolf. Once again, is it fair to compare him to Troy Brown, who was accused of assaulting not one but two women?
No, I don't think so. That's the point I was making. I certainly agree that sexual harassment is a serious problem, and there are laws that deal with it, civil laws and criminal laws. And if it's true that Shetler created unfavorable work conditions for this lady, then there'll be consequences, and she's going to be compensated. And he may be forced to resign just because of the shame and the scandal. But that is certainly very, very far from beating people up.
All right. 877-217-5757. Here's a note from TJ saying Dick's Sporting Goods, as we know, one of the largest sports retailers in the U.S., is selling all assault-style weapons ahead of any type of law that will soon be passed. And Walmart has also joined in not selling to anybody under 21 years of old. 21 years of age. Tom Aswell, is this showing that perhaps there is movement on this issue, unlike previous incidents?
Well, we always react to public opinion, of course. And I read about Dick's and Walmart, and there's only one outlet left that's selling assault weapons now, and that's Bass Pro, Bass Pro and Cabela's, which is the same company now. But that's the only outlet that is selling the assault weapons at this point. And, yeah, I think it's a reaction to the public mood. And That's mm-hmm. what you see in any case like this. You'll always see these people will, and it's just like the corporate sponsors that are pulling out of the NRA. It's a reaction to public opinion.
But there's a pushback from the NRA,
a powerful
organization.
There always will be.
And the NRA has contributed $2.8 million over the last 10 years to Senator William Morgan Cassidy.
Yep.
That's a lot of money.
That's a ton of money, $30 million toward Trump's election.
But on a comparative basis, $2.8 million in Louisiana is a lot more than $30 million for a national race.
Sure,
so Bill Cassidy has benefited far more from the NRA than has Donald Trump.
Every member of the Louisiana delegation, with the exception, I think, of Cedric Richmond.
Oh, yeah, he's considered an enemy.
Has certainly benefited from the NRA.
Mike, why do you think lawmakers are so reluctant to take on the NRA?
Well, just because of public opinion, as Tom was saying, the great body of opinion in Louisiana, for example, relies on the gun issue to determine their political choices. And it's easy to identify. And people who say, I'm pro-gun, get the people's support. It's amazing to me that people will run for office and actually say it's a qualification that they're a gun owner. To me, that's absurd. But, by the way, one thing I think should be mentioned on this idea of lowering the age to 18 to buy a rifle. I read an article today.
Raising it, I think, instead of lowering it.
Excuse me, raising it up to 21. I have problems with that. I have problems because I think we should treat people as adults at 18. We decided during the Vietnam War that we were going to lower the voting age, and a constitutional amendment was enacted to do that, if I'm not mistaken. And yet we treat them as only partially adults, like for drinking, for consumption, driving issues, and so forth. And now we want to change the rules on guns. Well, I read today that when the country was founded, the militias, the age for joining the militia was 18, and everyone was required to have his own rifle. Well, there are going to be people arguing that it would be unconstitutional to forbid 18, 19, and 20-year-olds to buy rifles.
877-217-5757 is your number. In Tom's posting on Louisiana Voice, he has the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 senators as far as contributions from the NRA. Richard Burr of North Carolina, almost $7 million, is number one, followed by Roy Blunt, Tom Tillis, Cory Gardner, Marco Rubio, Joni Ernst, Rob Portman, Todd Young, and Bill Cassidy, number nine, at $2,861,000 and 2,861,000 for Bill Cassidy from the National Rifle Association. That's a lot of money. And he is up for re-election in 2020. And my guess, Tom, is that he's not going to do anything that would rile the NRA.
He won't do a thing differently. He'll continue to take the money. And I should point out that a lot of that money that he received is not direct campaign, but indirect.
Indirect from NRA and its affiliates.
Yes.
Okay. But he's listed number nine, and he's from a relatively small state, and has had one tough race. He won it going away against Mary Loretta Landrieu. Will be running for re-election in a few years, and the gun issue is likely to be relevant. We'll talk more with Mike Wolf and Tom Aswell after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number, and Mike Wolf is with us, the longtime libertarian lawyer. He's now practicing law, at least for a little while, in the state of New York, a solidly blue state, and he has spent most of his life in the red state of Louisiana. And also with us is Tom Aswell, the pride of Ruston, Louisiana, who's a military veteran and the publisher of Louisiana Voice. Longtime journalist is Tom, and you can read his postings by going to Louisiana Voice. Again, 877-217-5757 or talk at talklouisiana.org. Scott in Baton Rouge writes, where does it say, Mr. Wolf, in the Second Amendment that the U.S. Constitution, in the U.S. Constitution, that the legal age for buying a gun should be 18? I know it says a well-regulated militia. Your response, Michael Wolf.
Well, I was referring to an argument I read this morning by a legal scholar named Holbrook, and the point is that people look to see in trying to figure out how to interpret the amendments to the Constitution. They look at the practices at the time the amendments were adopted. And this man was pointing out that at the time the Second Amendment was adopted, 18 was the age to join the militia, and people were allowed to own firearms. In fact, there were no restrictions on who could buy a firearm. So the lawyer, the legal scholar, who's a law professor, was arguing that this would support the argument that the Second Amendment should be interpreted to allow 18, 19, and 20-year-olds to purchase weapons.
Well, as we move to the political realm, we're a year and, a year, 7 months, and 10 days away from, 11 days away from the next governor's election, and a poll from WAFB Channel 9, commissioned by Channel 9, Mason Dixon, shows in a mock race between John Neely Kennedy and John Bell Edwards that Edwards leads Kennedy right now 45% to 44%. So very tight race if the election were today. It's quite possible that Senator Kennedy will enter the race for governor of Louisiana. And today the senator has sent a letter to Governor Edwards. So he's been writing the governor quite frequently. And it says, "Dear Governor Edwards, the flags at federal government buildings will fly at half-mast Friday in honor of the late Reverend Billy Graham. I respectfully request that the flags at state buildings in Louisiana also fly at half-mast Friday, as the Reverend Graham is laid to rest in a coffin built by Louisiana inmates." John Kennedy making a reasonable request, I think, Tom, but of course doing it with quite a flourish.
Oh, yeah, that's his way. John Kennedy never passes up an opportunity to get mic time and camera time, and this was another chance for him, and I'm sure that was calculated.
Mike Wolf, is this political posturing, or does Senator Kennedy have a good point that our state should honor the Reverend Billy Graham?
No, I disagree with him. No, and he does do a lot of posturing, and he's a very clever guy. I'm disappointed to hear that he wants to be governor, because I think he's useful in the Senate. I've enjoyed, since he's been in office, seeing him on C-SPAN calling to task many silly people in Washington, and I think he seems to have been doing a good job in a lot of areas. I'd be sorry to see him out of the Senate. I think he'd be more useful to Louisiana and the country in the Senate than he would in the Capitol.
All right. Neil Gladner, writing from Hot Springs, Arkansas, says, "The most dangerous place in America is to be between a television camera and John Kennedy." But this poll, I'm sure Governor Edwards is not all that enthused about the fact that he's only ahead 45-44 over John Kennedy. There were a couple of others mentioned in the poll. In a mock race against Steve Scalise, he's ahead 46-43. And against Ralph Abraham, 51-28. But this Kennedy-Edwards matchup, this would be one for the ages. I would think the battle of the two Johns could be quite exciting, Tom.
I think so. I think it's very possible. Of course, there are others that are going to try to squeeze in, and that's a factor we don't know anything about yet. But there are going to be some others in there. Jeff Landry's making noises like he wants to run, of course.
But he would have to give up his job.
Of course he would.
And I don't think he'll do that.
Yeah.
I think he'll run for re-election as Attorney General. But John Kennedy, on the other hand, he gets to keep his job even if he loses.
That's true. The question, if Kennedy runs, I think voters are just going to have to ask him one question. You know, that you ran for re-election as treasurer, and then you turn right around and ran for U.S. Senate. Now you're going to turn right around and run for governor. Which job, John, do you want?
Well, the governor's office is the big enchilada, unless he's planning on running for president of the United States, and you never know. We have had one John Kennedy as president. And Mike Wolf, you got to give Senator Kennedy credit. He has been able to commandeer the national media like few people can. He has gone to Washington with a vengeance, and they love him. At least the media loves getting sound bites from him.
They sure do, and he gives good sound bites, and that darn twang of his just gets your attention. He's funny, he's witty, and he's biting, and he goes to the point of things. So that's why I say he's been fun to watch. But there are a lot of issues he's got to deal with, and I'm not sure. Let's see, he did vote against the Republican budget plan, as I recall. Am I correct about that?
The last one.
The last one, both did, but they voted for the for the previous fiscal bill, which he shouldn't have. But he's doing some good things there. And yes, I think it would be a very interesting race if it came down to those two men, because they're both serious people. They're not people like Donald Trump. They're serious about policy. And it would be interesting to see, but there will be other people in the race, and I hope there'll be a Libertarian candidate.
Well, the worst thing that could happen, I think, to Governor Edwards would be if a Democrat were to jump in the race, a legitimate candidate who would challenge him from the left, and then he would be potentially in the same kind of situation, sandwiched like Buddy Romer in 1991. And remember Romer, who could have beaten either David Duke or Edwin Edwards like a drum in a head-up race. He got sandwiched, and he ended up finishing third in our unique open primary, and he didn't make the cut. Another listener asked about this Kennedy comment that made the rounds last week, saying we need idiot control, not gun control. Tom?
Yeah, who judges who's an idiot and who's not? That's the question. It's just like Trump right now is trying to say, take the guns first, have the hearing later as to the mental competency. You can't do that. That's contrary to due process, and I think Mr. Wolf would certainly agree with me on that issue.
Mike?
Yes, in general. It's like prior restraint in publishing.
Yes.
You're not allowed to jump before you determine cause for impairing a serious personal constitutional right.
On another matter, White House Communications Director Hope Hicks, one of the president's most trusted and longest-serving aides, abruptly announced her resignation yesterday, leaving a void around the president who values loyalty and affirmation. Some are saying this is a big deal. Others are saying it's business as usual with the Trump administration. What do you make of this, Tom?
I think this is significant. She was his most trusted aide outside Jared Kushner, probably. And coming as it did right after her being interviewed, you're going to hear more about this. This is more than just a routine resignation.
And it came after she testified 9 hours before a committee 2 days ago. It seems the timing is quite curious, Mike.
Well, yes, and I agree with Tom on that. I think it is significant as far as this investigation. But I'm interested in the fact that people are analyzing what her role was in the White House, and it's hard to say except that she controlled Trump, and I think that's fascinating as far as office dynamics go, to see how a beautiful young woman could have a calming effect on a wild bull of a man like Donald Trump.
It's not unprecedented.
Well, the long simmering friction between the president and the attorney general erupted into an extraordinary public face-off as the investigation into Russia's election interference roiled the administration and raised new questions about the independence of law enforcement agencies. This today from the New York Times. Mr. Trump excoriated Mr. Sessions, calling his attorney general disgraceful in a lacerating Twitter post. And Sessions responded by saying he would defend his office with integrity and honor. Tom?
Well, Trump's been trying to get Sessions to resign since last spring when he recused himself in the Russian probe, and he hasn't been able to do it. And it's an interesting power struggle, and it's I'll be interested to see how this plays out.
And last night there were photos taken of Rod Rosenstein and Sessions having dinner together in Washington, which I'm sure was intended to send a message to the president. Mike, it appears that as much as the president would like to get rid of Jeff Sessions, there would be a political price that would be paid if he did so.
Right, and so I don't think he'd do it. But it is fascinating. This question of the independence of the Justice Department is very fascinating to me as a constitutional matter. The president is the man in charge of the Justice Department. So it's fascinating that the Justice Department has this degree of independence from him. It's just an interesting thing to watch to me, but I'm glad that the matter is unfolding as it is.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Attorney Mike Wolf and Tom Aswell of Louisiana Voice. We'll be calling again soon. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. For Ali Baltazar, I'm Jim Engster. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned.
For a podcast of today's show, go to WRKF.org or find the Talk Louisiana podcast on the WRKF app. We welcome your feedback and topic suggestions. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Talk Louisiana is a production of WRKF in Baton Rouge.